The Lord be with you. Reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Lord, be on my mind, be on my lips, and in my heart. When the days were completed for their purification, according to the law of Moses, Mary and Joseph took Jesus up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. Just as it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that opens the womb shall be consecrated to the Lord, and to offer the sacrifice of a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons, in accordance with the dictate of the law of the Lord. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, awaiting the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he should not see death before he had seen the Christ of the Lord. And he came in the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to perform the customs of the law in regard to him, he took him into his arms and blessed God, saying, "Now, Master, you may let your servant go in peace, according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you prepared in the sight of all the peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and glory for your people Israel." The child's father and mother were amazed at what was said about him, and Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "Behold, this child is destined for the fall and rise of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be contradicted. And you yourself, a sword will pierce, so that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed." There was also a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel in the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived 7 years with her husband, and after her marriage, and then as a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshiped night and day with fasting and prayer. And coming forward at that very time, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were awaiting the redemption of Jerusalem. When they had fulfilled all the prescriptions of the law, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. The child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. The Gospel of the Lord. The presentation of the Lord, not normally celebrated on a Sunday, but on February 2nd, so we celebrate it today. It was the Jewish custom to dedicate to the Lord the firstborn child, to offer to God that child. In a very real way, that's what we do at every Eucharist. It is an offering of Jesus on the cross to God the Father in love for us, and we join ourselves to that offering. And it makes of us a perfect offering, although we ourselves fall short. For by his perfect offering, our offering is made acceptable. He is the priest. We are able then to offer ourselves to the Lord. And sharing in his death, we also share in his resurrection. Also, on a very different level, Mary is receiving a second annunciation. The first annunciation, you know, at the beginning when she was to conceive a child, the angel Gabriel declared the news, and it was news of great joy. She would have a child. A child would be born, and it would be Savior of the world. And to that invitation, she said yes. At today's annunciation, she hears again, this is a child destined to be the Savior of the world, but she hears the other side of her yes. A hard message that this child will suffer and die, the sword, but also, too, because of her love and sharing in his ministry, she too will have that same sword pierce her heart. It's a harsh message, and that message is given to her today in the midst of, at the end of a period of great joy, a sudden messenger of suffering and death. Malachi, the first reading, is given a same sudden message. Malachi means messenger, and just like angel means messenger by which Mary received the news, Malachi is giving a shocking, harsh message. The Lord will come, and the Lord will come and cause division and purification, and there will be suffering, but that suffering is meant to purify us and bring us to the Lord. Malachi is the last book of the New Testament, of the Old Testament. We've also, from time to time in our lives, received sudden and shocking messages that challenge us, that are harsh messages. This week, the death of Kobe Bryant, Gianna, and others in the helicopter crash. It is sudden, it is shocking, and for many of the younger I've been talking to, it's hard, and we grieve. But as you know, many people who are close to us die. And as Mary learned today, for every birth, there is a death. And it's a harsh message. Jesus came to join us in the death so that we may find Jesus in our death, so that we too may rise with him. Jesus joins us not only in our death, but he joins us in our sufferings, so that we too may find him in our sufferings. And Jesus joins us in our joys. But God is with us and leading us, and this is a very difficult message. And the message of Kobe even goes more further. As you read many articles, I'm sure, in the Catholic Angelus, I read the article of how several years back, when he had charges of wrongdoing, very difficult time in his life, he went to a Catholic priest, and the priest assured him to trust in God, and that God would never allow things to crush us, to defeat us. As long as we are with God, we can trust. And so he says that was a turning point in his life, where he learned to be more authentic and not hide behind the pretense of his stardom. He learned to trust in God in difficult times. He learned to apologize and make amends for his wrongs. And he also, I'm sure, with his family, went through some very difficult times. He was also, people testify, went to Mass at 7 a.m. that morning. Harsh messages come into our life, like Mary today, like that time for Kobe, like us for his death, like others in our lives when we hear hard news. How do we respond? And so Jesus is telling us, the message is that they're calling us to a deeper faith so that in these difficult times, we too may find a source that can bring us through them. Death is a messenger too. It calls us to contemplate what life is really about and what we are to live for. The second reading from the Hebrews tells us that God joined us in our suffering, and death did not take death away, but through death brought eternal life. And that light and that death that we endure begins not at our human death. It begins in our baptism, when we give ourselves totally to the Lord. And that Holy Spirit is born in us, but over time it must continue to grow, because we must continue to die to ourselves. And sometimes it's our trials in life that allow us to let go and trust God more and more. And that Holy Spirit and that Christ grows in us every time we receive the Eucharist. This is the presentation, truly, of Jesus' death and resurrection, and we join ourselves to that death and allow our parts of ourselves that are selfish and sinful to die so that we receive his resurrected life in the Eucharist, and he continues to grow in us. And this process continues until we finally let go of our earthly life completely in death and are born into eternal life. But it's not only for eternal life, right? This light is with us now, this Christ, and it's meant to allow us to live more authentically, because in the end, we're all the same, rich or famous, poor, different races, nationalities. Death comes for us all. Jesus is the Savior of us all. It allows us to get through our difficult times, knowing that if we turn to God, God's going to get us through it. Even when we make big mistakes, there is redemption. Let us allow that light that has come in. The harsh messages, may we respond to them by growing closer to Jesus. That second reading tells us that without Jesus, without the Savior, we are slaves to death. But in Jesus, we are not slaves of death. We're children of the resurrection.